Welcome to Emergency Contact, the podcast where people tell good stories about bad injuries. I'm Brian Russo, and with me as always is Andy Fitch.
Hey everybody, I'm not a doctor.
Yeah, Andy's not a doctor, I'm not a doctor, so just shut the fuck up about it, all right?
Leave it alone.
Today we have a new segment we want to debut. Andy, why don't you introduce this?
I decided to do a little man on the street kind of thing.
So the new segment, we're going to call people on the street. Here it goes.
Hi, this is Andy. I'm not a doctor, and I am here at the Adidas Skateboarding Away Days video premiere in New York at the PlayStation Theater. I'm going to ask some people questions about injuries. What's your name?
Keith.
And Keith, what do you think the worst injury you've ever had is, skateboarding or otherwise?
I sprained my wrist back when I was rollerblading. That was back when I was about 10 years old, though.
So do you have, like, guilt about being a rollerblader at one point?
I wouldn't say it was guilt. I definitely fucked myself up.
Or shame?
Yeah, I guess I should.
Have you ever, you've gotten, like, a shinner before, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Would you rather get hit in the shins with your skateboard every single time you step on it, or would you rather have Ted Cruz stick his tongue in your ear?
Shinners. Got it. It's got to be shinners. Fuck Ted Cruz.
All right. What's your name?
My name's Danny Giblin.
Danny, what's the worst injury you've ever had?
I severed my ACL about 2 years ago.
And how'd you do that?
Skateboarding.
All right, so would you rather sever your ACL again or get your name tattooed on your back?
I'll get my name on my back two times. Like, run after the other, man. Like, for real.
All right, would you rather injure your ACL again or get Ryan Scheckler's name on your back?
I'm a fan of Scheckler, man. I'll take Scheckler's name.
What's your name?
Max Looper.
All right, Max, what's the worst injury you've ever had skateboarding?
I broke my arm when I was in seventh grade.
Have you ever had a heel bruise?
Many heel bruises.
Would you rather get a heel bruise once every single month or on your wedding day, when you say I do, you go, I do! Like your voice cracks and that's all anybody remembers and all anybody talks about every time they meet you.
Probably the wedding, man, to be totally honest. I hate the pain. I can't deal with it.
All right, what's your name?
Josh.
And Josh, what's the worst injury you've ever had skateboarding?
Broken pelvis.
What's worse, a broken pelvis or getting dumped?
Broken pelvis.
A broken pelvis or a mother's shame?
Mother's shame.
What's your name?
Oliver.
And what's the worst injury you've ever had skateboarding?
I have an ongoing dislocated shoulder.
And how'd you get that?
Lots of things. Lots of
more than just skating?
Yeah. Wrestling with friends.
Like professional wrestling?
Nah, just
like dropping bows?
Yeah, dropping bows.
Have you ever been like credit carded?
Yeah.
For those of you listening, it's when the skateboard lands vertical, perpendicular with the ground, and you usually sit on it.
Yeah.
Did you get stitches?
No, it was close. It started, my butt started bleeding.
Like, when you say butt, you mean like...
I don't think my butthole, but just like my butt.
Can I just say thank you for being so open to this, like, totally random stranger?
No, you're welcome.
Thanks.
All right, Andy. Great job.
Yeah, it was really awkward.
What was your... Because you're a skateboarder. You're an enthusiast.
Once in a while.
What was your worst injury in skateboarding?
I was going point A to point B, and there was a car that was not paying attention, and it kind of, like, swerved into the other side of the road. And to avoid it, I kind of had to, like, go off the sidewalk. And I was not prepared to do that, and I fell, and I landed really weird, and I pinched a nerve in my back.
Oh, yeah. And you've... like had to go to the doctors for years or that?
For like about a year or so. Like I was getting like weird muscle spasms for like 6 months or so. And then like I couldn't do weird like balancey things. Got to get these shooting pains up my back.
So we're very excited for our guest today. She's a complete stranger to us. This is our first cold call. And she said yes, surprisingly. She's the star of stage and the web. you've seen her at UCB, Magnet Theater. It's Chet Siegel.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Thank you for coming.
Of course. I love to come to strangers' bedrooms in Queens to record podcasts.
Don't tell anyone it's a bedroom. I think it's like a cool studio.
We'll edit it. Edited it out.
Yeah, thank you for coming to NPR.
Thank you so much for having me in the NPR studios on Varick Street.
You're welcome.
We're in NPR's garage.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention also the digital team Brinkman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All great stuff. You're basically every video on the UCB's Vimeo.
Yeah.
And my personal favorite, Life Support, which is your episode, is... And I consider myself like kind of a emotionless guy. and I like almost cried at this. It's like such a sad, but like we were really good.
Yeah, we were joking when we were making it that we should release a new channel called UCB Tragedy. Because it's just, it's not like progressively each thing we make for UCB is more and more depressing.
Yeah.
So pretty soon there'll be no laughs in anything we make.
What was is it called The Pact? Is that what it is?
Pact, yeah, it was the first thing we made.
Like, that's pretty dark.
Yeah, it was about a suicide pact. But
that was a little more lighthearted. Have you seen Life Support?
I have not.
You should see Life Support. I really love Life Support. It's maybe my favorite thing I've ever done.
It's really good. So now that we've warmed up with that lightheartedness, you have a current injury, technically.
Yeah, technically still going on.
So how about you... take us away.
Sure. So I'm an actor, and I'd come home
from a day.
Well, you know, it hardly pays the bills, but it's just enough to write it on the tax form. So I came home from a rehearsal, and I'm I don't know about you guys, but I'm like I'm a hyper clean person. I would say I'm messy, but I'm like very, but like personal in terms of, you know, showering, I'm a 2 showers a day kind of person.
I've been doing that lately.
It's great. It's it's nice to get in the sheets that way, you know?
Especially once the summer comes around.
Especially then. This was not the summer. This was in February.
Oh, okay.
But I just really wanted that second shower. I have a real shitty shower in Brooklyn. It's probably the worst shower I've ever had in my life. Because of how variable the water temperature is.
Oh, okay.
It like becomes searing hot and then is ice cold, and the pressure's real garbage as well. It's just garbage.
Terrible.
And we've got huge water bugs that are like palmellos, I think. No, that's a fruit. But like there's some kind of water bug that's like about 3 inches, and it comes out of my drains.
Centipede?
They look like roided out cockroaches.
Oh.
So my bathroom is just like, it's fucking a hellhole, and it's awful.
You haven't seen mine.
That's true. I have not seen your bathroom. But so I was taking a shower. My boyfriend, I have a 7-month-old pit bull mix puppy. Okay. She's real sweet. So he was walking the dog. I was taking my second shower, and like all of a sudden I hear the door slam when he comes in with the dog, and the temperature also changed at like the same time, and I kind of hopped back on my tub, and I slipped, and I like gave the people's elbow to a mason jar.
Oh, nice.
That was on the lip of my tub.
Not rock bottom?
No, it was not a rock bottom. Thank God, or I'd have a spinal injury. But no, I have, so it was my elbow went into a mason jar that I had on my tub. What was a mason jar doing in my tub?
You live in Brooklyn.
Exactly. And I washed my dog. See, that was not an unnecessary detail. I washed my dog earlier that day. And
with the mason jar.
Yeah.
Twice a day?
Honestly, I wash, when I was able-bodied, I washed her twice a week.
That's great.
Because I let that dog on my bed. And some people don't wash their dogs for months. And like, you know, disgusting. That dog smell, a dog doesn't have to have that smell.
Yeah.
Do you not like that smell?
No, it's a dirty dog smell. But
because I find it really, it reminds me of being a child. It's like a comforting thing. I know it's gross, but
well,
like,
Andy used to smell like that. That's why.
You're like a little pig pen character. Brian. What you can't see at home is he's got little flies.
Yeah, there's a little
him.
Cloud hanging around him. I mean, he's a solid 220. He's got a cloud of dust hanging around him.
I'm a healthy 220. So now I have like a constant like sandstorm around me is what you're saying.
Well, Pigpen was a good description.
He's a nice man.
I think wait, what?
Pigpen was a nice character.
Did you say man?
Yeah, I assume he's a man now. I assume he grew up. All those guys grew up. They're doing great.
And they didn't
nice.
Change
at
all.
I hope he's okay.
No, he probably not.
Where were his parents?
They were
all trombones. Any of the parents?
They were all trombones.
That's true.
It's like
you'd be dirty
terrible
too
dystopian future.
If you were raised by brass instruments.
All right, so continue.
So I fell. I gave the people's elbow to the mason jar. It shattered in my elbow.
Okay.
And so glass went up into my tricep. Ugh. And but I didn't know this when I wear glasses, and I wasn't wearing my glasses when I showered, so I didn't see or know how bad it was. Like, I couldn't.
Yeah.
I didn't have a sense. I just screamed fuck, and my boyfriend came in, and I was just sitting on the ground, like sitting in the tub, with all this shattered glass and blood, but I didn't. It
you
just looked
really
pink.
See
I couldn't
it,
really
yeah.
see, and I was in shock, I think. And I was like, "Can you help me out of the tub? Oh, crap, is it bad?" And it, like.
And
he could
like
see my joint
terror.
And my bone
oh my God.
And my muscle. And just so I was bleeding a lot. Like, it was a lot of blood. And I was like, oh, fuck. You know, and he was like,
come on, stop messing around. Help me out.
I was like, is it bad? And he was like, you know, I think we should maybe go to the hospital. And he was super cash.
I was going
to
say, he's playing it cool so
he
you don't panic.
He played it so cool. He's the best. He played it so cool. And I was like, I don't want to fucking pay for a hospital. Let's just, like, can you clean me up? And maybe we'll do, like, an urgent care situation.
Did you have, like, a Band-Aid or something?
And no. He was like, nah, I think we should go to a hospital. I was like, okay, well, help me up and help me get dressed, and we'll call an Uber. And he was like, you know what? I would feel more comfortable if we took an ambulance.
Was this the point where you're like, oh, this might be something worse?
No, because he's, like, also an OCD Jew. So I'm like, oh, maybe he's just, like, you know, really wants to make sure I'm fine. Maybe he's being overprotective. I don't know. Then I get up, and he puts a white towel. It was the only thing we had. It was like my white hand towel he puts on my arm. And then just in a matter of seconds, it's seeped through there's like blood on, like a lot of blood.
Wow.
It's
like heavy
and I have my
blood.
Glass. I put my glasses on, and he's still super calm. And he calls 911. He the first thing he did, which I thought was very funny, was like, he just asked what the best hospital was in Brooklyn. And I was like, this isn't fucking Yelp.
Yeah,
you don't
asking
just fucking
for
call
stars.
911 for best hospital reviews. And then he hangs up and that call's over. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Did they give him an answer?
No, I don't think so. He was like, they kept asking about, you know, is there an emergency? And so then he calls back and he's like, we do need an ambulance, and they have to take you to the nearest hospital, which, so then when he came back in, I had my glasses on, and I could see now, but I never looked at it. And he,
because you didn't want to,
I think it, where it is, and I'm going to show you, but it's not, you can see that this is the, that's not even, it's a lot, but it's a lot. So then he was like, yeah, well, let's just try to get some clothes on. It'll be fine. And I saw that his hands were shaking, and that's when I like fell down. I couldn't stand up anymore. We couldn't get clothes on me because of it's on my left elbow, and it just, the whole elbow was open, and it just started searing pain. Because there's glass in my muscle. And so that was the thing. And you could see glass, apparently. I wasn't looking. So I only was wearing pants. I was topless when the EMTs came. And they heard my dog barking. And they were like, we will not come in there if that dog is loose. You need to lock up that dog. She has a scary bark, but she's like, at the time, she was 22 pounds, maybe.
Oh, wow.
And these were
so
huge.
So a big cat.
Just a big cat. Just a big old fat cat. But so we locked up the dog, they came in, and they saw my elbow, and they went, whoa, which is like, you
worst.
Never want an EMT to say, and which is, it was terrible. I was like, oh, I'm fucked. I'm going to die. Like, I'm going to die. I'm going to bleed
like
out and die.
Like fainting at your injury.
Exactly. And then I was like, I'm so sorry about the dog and that my tits are out. And I kept apologizing for my boobs. Like, that was like the big problem here. And so they helped me put on
the dog. You can apologize.
Yeah, the dog, sure. But like, the tits are like a tip. No, I'm kidding. But they helped me put on a shirt.
Maybe that's
they
what they're saying whoa
arm.
About.
That's I would hope. No, I was collapsed on my kitchen counter. Like, I was sitting on a stool, and my head was in my, my good right arm, and I was just barely, I was, like, going in and out.
Yeah.
So I was losing a ton of blood.
Yeah.
And,
serious.
It was very serious. But I could also not see it, so I was thinking I was being a pussy. That's another huge thing in my life, is, like, I'm very afraid of being weak or being a pussy or complaining about things. And so I was trying to be fine and trying to be cool. I wasn't
real casual.
Hey guys, hey, come on in.
So what I kept doing is like I would have these spasms of pain whenever when they wrapped it up, they had to compress it, which actually ended up driving glass further into my muscle.
Oh, jeez.
And so I would scream, and then I would say, I'm sorry. That became like my very annoying thing. Was just to apologize for shouting because I was in pain. Went in the ambulance. It was my first ambulance ride.
Oh, such a precious moment.
It was so painful because you could feel every bump and it was so painful. It was so painful, but not the most painful part of this journey.
Oh.
Oddly enough.
So we got a lot to look forward to.
So I went to the ER. I was there for, this happened at like 11:45 at night. I got to the ER around 12:15. Very prompt ambulance.
That's fast.
I feel good about that experience in terms of how fast they came.
It's at least 4 stars.
Exactly. That's at least 4. So I got to the ER, waited around. Like, it took them a long time to see me. They opened it up, the bandage that they'd had. They looked at it. And then they had to send me to another woo. I had to take an x-ray, which was so painful because you have to, like, move and manipulate your arm.
Oh, yeah.
And this was to determine if there was glass in there because there was the obvious piece of glass that they took out immediately, but further in.
Yeah.
So when they were doing the x-ray, I'd have to move it. There. Spoiler alert, there was a big, oh, I should have fucking brought it. I have it. Square centimeter triangle of mason jar glass was in my tricep, and every time I moved it, it was burrowing. It's like stabbing. You can feel like stabbing pain. So bad.
I've had glass in my foot. Like, I stepped on glass on the beach once. Yeah. I was like, ow, that hurt. And I put my foot back down after the initial like thing, and then I stepped back down on it, and it was like a knife. And I didn't know what to do, so I was like kind of hobbling, and I didn't have my balance, so I stepped down again. So it just went into my foot 3 times. So I know what you're talking about when it's just like...
It's a shooting, searing hot. It's a hot pain.
Yeah.
It feels hot. Yeah. So they did the x-ray. They're like, you definitely have glass in there.
You're like, good luck with that.
I was like, okay, great. Another super cool thing my boyfriend did, my dad's a doctor, and I was like, can you call him and let him know what's happened to me? He knew that I would maybe panic if I heard. So he went around the corner and explained to my dad how bad it was.
Okay.
Well, I still didn't know how bad it was.
Yeah.
Great or bad. I don't know. Maybe I should have known because it was my arm after all. But anyway, I thought it was a slick move.
Yeah.
But,
in those kind of situations, I think it's best to just kind of distance the victim from it.
Yeah, he did a great job.
Then they'll panic more.
Meanwhile, he's got like blood on his head from my injury and like blood on his shirt. There's like blood everywhere. Looks like he did it. So they see me. They do the x-ray. My joint is exposed. So what they have to do is a test to make sure my joint itself wasn't ruptured. So what they did, this is the most painful thing that I think happened, maybe, was that they injected fluid directly into my exposed joint to fill it with fluid. And the way you test if it's ruptured is if, like, they fill it with water and it spritz out in a hole. It's, like, super inexact.
That's super scientific.
I know. And I'm not on anesthesia. I'm on 1 Percocet, which is, like, less than what some people take at clubs.
Yeah.
So it's bad. Mm. So that sucked. And then they're like, well, we got to get this fucking glass out. So what they do, they didn't knock me out. They probably should have had. I should have probably had surgery, but I think they were worried because I'm
small,
and I was losing blood, and it's very close to an artery, and where it was, you know, where the glass was. So they were like, "We'll just give you lidocaine injections." So that's topical anesthetic. They're injecting it into my wound, my open wound, just like into the muscle, into the tissue, into the skin, and it wears off every like 20 minutes, and it's not like it still didn't completely numb me. So like. From the time they actively worked on me probably for about 4 or 5 hours.
Wow.
And they, every 30 minutes were giving me like another round of like 10 to 15 lidocaine shots in my wound.
So you were awake entire thing?
The most awake I've ever been in my life.
And this is awake.
So this is now like 2-3 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
This is overnight.
So you've been through some shit.
Been through it. Then they sew it up. They take out the glass. They let me keep it.
Do you put it on your mantle or something?
No, for a while I just kept it in that little hazard bag that they give you at the hospital. And I just kept it in my purse with me everywhere. I don't know why.
Did you show people or were
yes.
you, was it, oh,
just for you? It, and it still has caked blood on it.
Oh, wow.
It's really funny. fucking gross. Well, yeah, and probably
if you clean it
hazard.
Off, they're just like, that's just broken glass.
Exactly. And I'm like, no, this is me. I don't know. Maybe I'll have it turned into like a cool necklace. Probably not. But so they sewed me up 20 stitches and they were like,
wow.
Considering it was just the elbow point, actually, is where the accident actually happened.
20's not too much.
No, it's not. Okay. But we're not done. I wish we were, but we're not done.
Okay.
So I was in a play at the time at Ensemble Studio Theater, and there was no understanding. It was a really cool, fucked up, like, new play, and I, it's very physical and had, like, a lot of fight choreography. So I missed only 2 days of rehearsal, and then I went back because I was like, I gotta finish this play. I love this play. It's, like, a part that's, like, on the very... I'm going to age out of this part in an hour kind of thing. Like it's like a teenage kid, which I shouldn't be playing anyway. So I was like, I can't miss this play. I got to keep going and do it anyway. You know, meanwhile, I never really regained function of that arm. Like, and I didn't know why. Like it was still kind of painful, but I was like, I'm being a bitch. And like, I didn't want to complain about it too much because then I knew people around me would make me quit this play or stop working in some way. I got the stitches out the day of our tech and then went into tech and did the show. And then after that was over, I was like, huh, I still can't move my arm. I can still move. I can probably move it to about, I don't know, 70, 60 degrees of flexion and that's it. And I've got no strength in it and I'm getting spasms still. So I went to an orthopedic surgeon. This is 4.5 weeks after the accident. And they were like, oh, you completely severed your tricep tendon.
Oh, the tendon. Shit.
And my tricep had retracted, like rolled up. A shade, like a window shade, just up the fucking arm.
I've heard
you
that.
You just thought you were getting buff.
With the Achilles tendon, it can roll.
I just thought I was getting like a real skinny arm. Yeah, it just rolled up. It just rolled up. And there was like a gap. So when I fell, I severed the tendon at the joint.
And they didn't catch that?
No, Kings County, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, Kings County emergency room.
It's a loss of a star. All
right. Yeah, they're going. They're 3.5 now.
They're 3.5. But so then, I saw in the course of like 2 days, I saw 5 orthopedic surgeons to pick the right surgeon because they were like, you need to have surgery to reattach it, and it has to happen like in the next like 3 or so days. You just need to get it done now because every day like you're gonna lose more and more muscle function after the surgery. So I picked a fancy old man on Park Avenue.
That's a good bet.
Yeah, it's a great bet. And he was the only one who drew the surgery that he wanted to do for me.
Like on a piece of paper?
Yeah, like a little diagram.
A napkin?
So yeah. Let me get something.
maybe I didn't pick right, but he's the only surgeon who drew me a picture.
I don't trust those computers. Here's a little sketch.
So there's 2 ways to reattach a tricep tendon. You can either drill into the top of the humerus and put in 2 anchors and then put heavy sutures at the base of the tendon, pull down the muscle, and like stick the sutures into those anchors and drill it into the bone. But then you got a fucking stuff in your bone forever.
Yeah, who wants to deal with that?
Right. So the way Dr. Pruzanski did it was he made 3 tunnels in my humerus and he put 4 very heavy strands of suture at the base of my tendon and he wove them through those holes and tied them on the outside.
Okay.
And so eventually, you know, right, the sutures will always be there because they're very strong, like, sutures. But eventually my thing will just reattach and maybe the tunnels will close a little bit.
Mm.
But so that's the surgery I had.
Did he give you like a success rate of that?
He said he's never had to do the surgery twice.
Oh, well that's...
In terms of re-injury.
That's pretty good.
But I probably, he was like, you may See, not...
I've never done it though.
Yeah, so. I've never done it. So we're really taking a gamble. You're my best worst patient. But he was like, you may not regain full mobility. So like I might not be able to go all the way.
Okay.
Bend it all the way and straighten it all the way, which I can't right now.
This is your left arm. Is it your dominant arm or your...
My right arm's a little fucked up, so I'm a little ambidextrous. I fell at some point, maybe as a kid. I don't know. I grew up in the South in the country, so like I could have broken it as a kid and just never got it checked right.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, like that
so this, my right arm just doesn't supinate all the way, so it doesn't turn up. And so there's some stuff that I can't do with this arm.
Okay.
Like any sports stuff I used to do with my left hand and left arm. And, I used to eat with my left hand and all that stuff. But yeah, so I got the surgery. They didn't put me under general, which is interesting. Again, they did a nerve block, so they knock out all the nerves in your arm. And they gave me something to make me a little loopy. So I went in and out during the surgery, which was very bizarre.
Yeah, I've had that happen.
It's weird.
You come to and it's like, is this still happening? Like, what's, and then you just kind of go back out.
Yeah. And they're like, lay back down. Cause I had to do it on my side. I did the surgery on my side and they reattached it. It took 3 hours. I was at Mount Sinai. My boyfriend brought me and he picked me up and took me home after. And I felt fine after cause I had a nerve block. And I was like getting real cocky about it.
Yeah. Let's go throw the football around.
We took my dog for a long walk. And then around midnight that night, I woke up like it was like fucking Reanimator. I woke up screaming in pain. I've never done that before. Have you woken up screaming in pain?
I mean, I wouldn't say screaming.
Yeah, it was just so it was because my arm was in a cast and instead of having individual stitches for a surgery like this, so I had subcutaneous internal sutures around the muscle. So there's those big heavy sutures I was telling you about that attach the tendon back into the bone. They tunneled 3 holes into my bones. Mm. So that sucked. And that's probably where the most pain has been. It's just like you can, and what I've learned now is that I can taste the pain and know where it's coming from. I can feel the difference between joint pain, muscular pain, and bone pain. Mm-hmm. And they all suck. But bone pain is like a dull one that radiates throughout. Okay. So that was, but when my arm woke up, it was a fucking nightmare. Oh God. There was nothing I could take that like made it any better. I was on Percocet for a week and a half and it was miserable. It was just a miserable time. And I was in the cast for 2 weeks. Then the cast came off and I got put in a robotic arm that has a hinge where they could dial up flexion.
Okay.
And started going to physical therapy. And I just got the little robo arm off today or yesterday. My physical therapist was like, let's see how you are without it.
Do you miss it?
No, I can't say that. I do. The only time I miss it is like, I forgot that I was automatically getting subway seats. Not always, but sometimes when I was tired and someone would just look at me cause I was wearing it was huge. It went from my shoulder to my wrist.
Yeah.
And I looked like, you know, RoboCop. It was great. But they would just look at me and go, oh, do you want to sit? And then I would like get a little sick looking in the face. I was like, yes, I do. I really am. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I really was just tired. But
And if someone didn't do it, were you like, what the fuck?
I became indignant, yeah. I became very entitled.
Do you see my robot arm?
Exactly.
Do you know what I can do with this?
Yeah. So now I'm in, and so I started going to physical therapy after 3 weeks. Got the sutures out at 3 weeks. Physical therapy, I go 4 times a week. And the exercises used to be just as small as like, I just turn my wrist, mm-hmm. like face, palm down, palm up. And I would be in a cold sweat just on a bed, like doing that. And I felt like such an asshole that was so hard and making me sweat that much. Again, like I'm very afraid
of being
a pussy.
There's a reason. You don't feel bad.
I do though. I feel real bad that I'm so weak. My dumb tendon is so dumb. It's so painful because they also, they force my arm to stretch. Mm-hmm. So they'll put all like a ton of weight on it to try to make it bend. Mm-hmm. And now I'm in this really shitty part where we're just getting past the point of where I was before the surgery and after the accident in terms of mobility. And elbows are notorious for locking up. So I'm like stuck at 90 degrees. And physical therapy has become the most painful part of the entire process. Aside from that joint needle, it's like I'm at out of 10, I'm at an 8-9 for an hour 4 times a week.
Jeez.
Which is this very sweet Italian woman who I like very much, just cranking my arm as hard as I can. So I finally
like 4
went to,
stars? Yeah. 4 stars for her?
Honestly, she 5.
All right.
She 5. She answers her email like 24 hours a day. I don't know how she does it. And she has 2 kids. And she really hates my physician's assistant at my office, my doctor's office. And so she's like, oh, that Eunice is such a fucking idiot. She says it all the time. And she is kind of dumb. But like, I didn't really notice until Lori told me she was dumb. And now I'm like, oh, absolutely. I fucking hate her too. Fuck Eunice. She's the worst. She's so fucking dumb.
I hope Eunice isn't listening to this.
She probably isn't. I mean, poor fucking Eunice. So I went to a pain management. I can't take it anymore. Like I was starting to like pass out in physical therapy. So I went to a pain management specialist today. And
how was that?
She was great. She was like a very sweet Asian woman with an enormous engagement ring.
Yeah.
Good for her, I guess.
She's doing good.
She's doing great. But it was the dirtiest, jankiest office I'd ever been to. And it's a pain management
I
place.
It was the dirtiest ring I've ever seen. It's really big, but it's to grow.
her ring is enormous, but it is covered in like body juice. It's just disgusting.
Body juice.
I don't know. She's a doctor. What else is she getting on it? But yeah, she prescribed me Lyrica. Have you heard of this medicine?
I've heard it on commercials.
It is. It's a neural pathway medicine that's supposed to like reprogram my body. I did not understand what she said. I was looking at her ring and I was like, her ring is so nice. This office is so janky. People come here for pain pills. This is all such a strange thing to me. But
so it's like an arthritis medicine, isn't it?
Fibromyalgia. Oh, okay. It's typically prescribed for. Okay. But and arthritis. It's like anything where you're just in constant pain. So I have to take that every night. Because it's a neural pill. So oh,
so it's a nighttime thing.
It
you
has
think it's
going to
gonna fuck with your sleep?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, whatever. What hasn't at this point?
Oh, true. Your arm.
Do you have, like, pain now that you're not, like...
Just sitting here right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's a smaller pain. Yes. It's honestly, it's social pain.
Okay. Sorry.
But I am in pain right now. It's not huge. It's just like a... I get twitches, I get spasms, and there's a lot of nerve. There's some nerve damage from the surgery and the accident because the ulnar nerve runs along the underside of your arm, and that's a huge highway of nerves. I've got so many weird little things now. Like when I run my hand under cold water, my elbow feels like it's underwater.
Interesting.
And sometimes throughout the day, my elbow will just feel cold. Like all of a sudden, I'll be like, oh, I'll be normal temperatured. If that's a phrase. And then my elbow will just be freezing. Like, I'll feel like, oh, I'm cold in my elbow.
Huh.
Just from my nerves being fucked.
Now,
hopefully Lyrica will help me get fat and fix that.
Shout out to Lyrica, one of our sponsors.
Thank you, baby. Haven't even tried it.
So
but I love it already.
You got this in February, and now that it's becoming warmer, are you noticing that there's going to be like different things? Because I know when temperatures change, you can feel different kinds of aches.
Yeah. The thing is that it's hotter now. And that's not great for inflammation. It makes anything that's inflamed more inflamed. Like right now, if you were to touch my elbow, it's hot. It's like actually
temperature.
Warm. Temperature.
Okay. To the
like,
touch, it's hot.
Yeah, you could touch it if you want.
All right.
It's warm.
Yeah, it feels normal.
It feels normal?
No, I don't know. I'm very warm anyway, so maybe that's
true. My hands are cold and my elbow is like, it feels like a furnace to me. It's the only thing that has heat in my body, it feels like. But yeah, the thing that sucks really is like, I just can't do shit. Like I can just now start bearing weight on it, but like, that's it.
And how's your boyfriend taking it?
He's a real champ.
He's being a jerk about it now?
Yeah, he's being his whole jerk.
Well, no, I'm just...
He's saying it fine. Just
he's like, oh, this happened months ago.
Yeah, honestly,
I'm
constantly like, I'm so sorry about this. I'm really sorry about
this.
Why do
you apologize so much?
Because it does create a stress on people. Because I can't stay over his place, you know. Because that's really more my dog's fault. I'm blaming my elbow.
So you don't have roommates or anything?
I do. I have a roommate. I do live with my best friend.
Did you let them know, or did they come home to a like bloody show?
Oh right. Okay. So my roommate was I think she was at like she was Tindering. I don't know. She was like fucking off. Fucking some guy.
Whoa.
I know. I mean it in a nice way. Like empowered. Yeah.
Not hate intimate. Fucking. Nice.
Not hate fucking, but just like it was a Thursday night. That's like the new Friday. She was out.
Is it?
Isn't it?
This is the first I've heard.
I don't know. But my boyfriend shut the door to the bathroom and we just had to leave everything. We couldn't clean anything up. So we called one of my neighbors who we're friendly with, and he came in to check on the dog, and he has a spare key. And just told him to make sure the door was shut and there wasn't any glass in the living room or kitchen from us walking out. But there was like a little blood stuff that he wiped up. But when we came back from the ER at 8 the next morning, the tub was still filled with glass and blood. Like, filled with glass and blood.
What the fuck did you do in the shower?
Yeah. He cleaned it up because I was, like, immobile, which was so nice of him to do again. I'm so sorry. But... he has a really good technique for cleaning up glass, which is bread.
What?
Okay.
So
next
he's
time
done
you
this
shatter,
before?
Yeah. Honestly, I'm in danger. No, I'm kidding. But he's cleaned up glass before. It's like a pet peeve of his is like glass, honestly.
I hate
He's like very
glass.
Vigilant about it because you shatter a lot of glass and it gets everywhere.
Wait, who does?
People do. How many times in your life have you shattered a glass or been around shattered glass?
Honestly, I ran through a window as a child and probably broke... like a bowl or a glass twice in my life.
Okay.
I'm pretty careful. My dad actually owns a glass company. So
are you serious?
Yeah, he would fix anything if I broke anything. But it's mostly my brother who broke stuff, not me. was a careful guy.
Well, I've heard of, like, when you break a light bulb, you stick a potato in it to, like, unscrew it and pull
yeah,
it out.
Yeah, that's a great yeah. technique.
So, like, I know people who've used just, like, vegetables, and they just, like, they just, like,
this makes me hungry.
That's what he did. He got like two loaves of Wonder Bread yeah. and just blotted the ground and the tub to pick up all the little pieces of glass.
And then your roommate was like, I saw those sandwiches you left.
Yeah, they are real delish.
If you could give advice to anyone that might be putting themselves in a situation like this, what would you?
Oh, I have great advice. Get a bath mat and don't keep glass in your shower or in your bathroom at all, because people get injured in the bathroom a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's wet, it's tiles. And one you might not think of is don't over soap. I over soap, I think.
Well, you take two showers a day.
Well, I don't mean like a global soaping is an issue. I don't mean like soaping in terms of like washing.
You
but
use
like,
too much.
Too
like,
much.
It's like, oh, just like a little like quarter.
A little bit
nope.
And rinse it all off. You know, I don't rinse good and I paid the price.
Well, it's the bad shower. You can blame it on the shower.
I shouldn't have had glass in that shower.
All right. So
get a bath mat.
Get a bath mat. Don't put mason jars in your shower yeah. and maybe get a better shower.
People's elbows for the people.
Well, when you
save it for Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Exactly. And when you look at apartments, I never do this, but check the shower.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Andy. How about we play a game?
Would you like to play a game?
Yes.
All right, let's play a game.
You sound very enthused.
Let's play a game.
All right, Andy, what game are we playing today?
We're going to play Sport Blooper.
All right, let's hear the theme song to Sport Blooper.
We don't really have a theme song. Yeah. We just put everything in a post.
Okay, great.
What are we going to play for today, Brian?
How about just a fat stack?
All right. Today's game is for a fat stack.
Is that all right with you?
I would like a fat stack.
Who wouldn't?
We'll see.
Who wouldn't, right?
We'll see.
So the way this game works is I have four different athletes, mm-hmm. and I'm going to give you two injuries, and you have to choose which one was the injury that they sustained.
All right, Andy, well, let's start with question number one.
All right, so the first person is a college athlete, quarterback Andrew Clifford for the South Carolina Gamecocks. Was his injury slicing his ring finger cutting cake at a graduation party, or crashing a moped with pizza in his lap, giving him a concussion?
I think he crashed that moped with pizza in his lap.
Yes, he did.
He did.
He
got one on the board.
Up on the board.
All right.
1 point. Next, Anaheim Ducks hockey player Dustin Penner. Did he hurt his back leaning down to devour homemade pancakes his wife made for him? Or, while at a charity event, break his nose in a pie eating competition when he leaned forward too fast?
I want it to be the pies. I think I'm going to go pies.
You're going to go pie?
It's actually the pancakes.
Yeah.
He threw his back out leaning down to eat pancakes.
Wow.
Professional athlete. Pulling his back.
Should have stretched before the pancakes.
Common knowledge.
The next is Major League Soccer player Darren Maddox. He ended up in the hospital because of either burns to his arm because he forgot to wear an oven mitt while he was cooking, or he missed 3 games from food poisoning after eating expired ice cream.
He went to the ER for this?
Yes.
Let's see which sounds more emergent. I'm going to go with the oven mitts.
That's right.
That is correct.
He didn't wear an oven mitt and took something directly out of the oven.
Hey, we've all done that. I've never done that.
I've never done that.
All right. So you've won, mm-hmm. but would you like to double or nothing on this bonus question?
Ooh, I'd love to gamble. Let's double or nothing it.
All right.
Really? You don't want to just take the fat stacks and leave?
No, I'd rather get double the fat stacks.
Two fat stacks.
Or... none at all, if that's what I earn.
That's the other option.
Great.
Detroit Lions wide receiver Nate Burleson, did he get in a car accident trying to save pizzas he had ordered that caused him to crash into a median? Or did a car run over his foot while filming a local commercial for a pizza place?
This is tough because I can't really make a value decision because both of these involve pizza. That would have been helpful.
My goal was to get three injuries that... involved pizza.
That's great.
But I only found two.
I think it was the car commercial.
Is that your final answer?
You're instilling guilt. What is it called? Doubt.
That's the game of it.
I think I'm gonna go. No, because I would have heard about that. I would have definitely heard about that, and there would have been a lawsuit. I'm gonna go with he did this to himself. I'm gonna go with protecting those pieces.
That's right.
That is right.
You won. You're the second winner.
You are the second winner. So we're gonna scrawl your name up on the golden plaque next to Colin O'Brien's.
Oh, there forever.
He also won Sport Bloopers, so maybe we'll have to revisit this game. But congratulations. Here are your two fat stacks.
Oh, thank you so much. I am going to have difficulty carrying them. I have one working arm.
Oh, but you can pay for your PT now.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is an expense.
Is that stuff covered by your insurance or is there like a limit?
So there is a limit and there's also, and I'm reaching it.
All right. Well, Chet, thank you for agreeing to be here.
Of course.
Because we're weirdos and we're shocked when people actually agree to come on and talk about this kind of stuff.
You shouldn't be too shocked. You are asking.
Hey, we've had people say no.
No, it's glad to be among the injured. I don't know that you've talked to. What's the worst injury you've had?
This is probably it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let us wrap this up. Chet, would you like to plug anything?
Oh, you can see me perform improv with the law firm on Friday nights at 10:30 at UCB Chelsea. Check out the series Life Support on Vimeo by Brinkman. And check out any of the Brinkman stuff. It's the UCB Digital team I work for. And that's about it.
Yeah. Andy, anything?
If you're not doing anything at 3 a.m. on Saturday, come to the Magnet Theater and see myself and Jeremy Friedman.
From Montreal.
Do the Tom Hardy Boys Mysteries.
It's a good bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a solid 15-minute show, so, you know, we got that coveted 3 a.m. spot.
Yeah.
If you can work it in, come see it.
All right. So we're going to wrap it up like we always do, where we say, you know, we like talking about injuries.
But we don't like getting them.
And we don't want you to get them either.
So stay safe out there.
Stay safe.
Stay safe.